Hey, and welcome to each and every one of you today. Thank you for coming and joining us this morning. I'm so grateful that all of you are here, but I want to just take a moment and say that I'm incredibly grateful for a group of community leaders and administrators from Augusta University who are here. Guys, would you just wave at us a minute? Can we just say to you, thank you for being here, and the reason I want to do that, yeah, you honor them, say good morning to them. But yesterday, I had the privilege, along with Lane Lowry, of meeting with our governor, with President Keel, and with some of the administrative leadership from the medical staff and the university, just talking about what's going on with rolling out the vaccines and getting people ready and prepared and just trying to break through both some of the barriers that are up about really widespread vaccination and really getting the word out. And the governor has continued to reassure us that he thinks that sooner, not later, we're going to keep opening the windows of who's qualified and can do this. And I just want to publicly say to you that I really urge you to get vaccinated as quickly as your category, your opportunity comes. I just want to encourage you to do that. And I am incredibly grateful for the leadership of Augusta University and of our medical college and of everyone who has been involved. You guys have done a great job, and you represent a team of special leaders and caretakers in this community, and I am really grateful for that. So thank you to you. Thanks for the incredible leadership of President Brooks Keel. I think since the day that he arrived in this city, he has done nothing but add to the well-being of this city. Jaguar Nation was in trouble when he got here, and he has helped to do some very good things, and I've been grateful for it. And anyway, just wanted to be sure to take a moment and to say that today. And then I just need to ask, did any of you go out and hit anybody last week? I want to be sure I'm not responsible for any injury given the way I ended last week. So just want to be sure. Okay, just checking on that matter as we come together today. Well, we are standing in Hoopville. And as we stand here, a lot of you are trying to get your heads around some bracketology in these days. And that's why we've been talking about get your head in the game. We want to get our heads in the game of life and want to be sure that we are making the right that we're judging life rightly and making the best choices and decisions that we can make in life. And so today, because of where we're standing, because of this theme, I wanted to just sort of take off a little bit on this countdown to the NCAA championship and just tell you a quick story. April the 5th, 1993, NCAA Division I men's championship game took place between the North Carolina Tar Heels and the Michigan Wolverines. It took place in the Louisiana Superdome in New Orleans. Michigan's second appearance in this, and their star player, a young man by the name of Chris Weber, took the ball to half court and then attempted to call for a timeout. But what he did not remember was that they had no more timeouts. And as a result, they ended up, because of that kind of quick decision and bad choice, they ended up with a technical foul that sent North Carolina to the foul line and ultimately gave them the game. Chris Weber's entire career in basketball was marked ultimately by that choice and that decision. Weber continues to receive ridicule for his timeout era. When he joined Inside the NBA in 2008, part of the initiation ceremony was that they asked him on air, in college basketball, how many timeouts do you get? His own father has a license plate on his car that says, timeout. And as recently as just a couple of years ago in a sports comedy entitled Uncle Drew, Weber was referenced and this whole scenario was played out once again. Just something that defined so much of his life. Now, don't feel too sorry for Chris Weber because ultimately he was a five-time NBA All-Star, All-NBA First Team, NBA Rookie of the Year, NBA All-Rookie First Team, and ultimately his number four was retired by the Sacramento Kings. So he had a pretty stellar career, both collegiate and NBA. But I say that to say that in a moment in time, you can make a decision, you can make a choice that can have tremendous consequence on your life and on the way that people see you and what people think about you. Let me ask you a simple question. How many of you have ever made a bad decision in your life? Okay, I am so relieved to know that I am not in a room of infallibility. That makes me feel good. Because I have certainly made my share of bad choices and bad decisions in life, and every one of us struggles with that. And so today, our topic is this. We're going to talk about get your head in the game, and we're going to talk about overcoming stupidity. Stupidity. That is when poor choices have big consequences in life. I, as a pastor, have often had a front row, courtside seat watching people make poor choices and bad decisions in life, and as a result, I have observed how that all plays out with the bitter impact and the tragic consequences. I have seen people make choices that have destroyed their integrity, ended their marriages, ruined their families, split their churches, hurt their friends, wrecked their finances, and fill their life with regrets. And that's just preachers. I've seen a lot of other people do those things too. The Bible, of course, is filled with stories of men who were foiled and faulted. When you read the story of Abraham, Adam, Moses, Samson, David, Jonah, Peter, Judas, and more, you have all of these pictures of men who made bad decisions and poor choices. And so today I want to give you a little checklist. A checklist that you can use, that I seek to use in my life, that helps me to know how to make better choices. And I want you to remember this. This is your first fill in the blank, by the way. Remember this: the choices you make in life will determine the quality of your life. The choices you make in life will determine the quality of your life. And so I want to talk about how to avoid stupidity. It was the great theologian Forrest Gump who said, what? Stupid is as stupid does. And though that's been almost 30 years ago since he made that statement and it became a part of our popular culture, stupid is as stupid does continues today. So when it comes to choices and making decisions, here's the bottom line. Ask before you act. Ask these questions before you act. You must ask before you act. So here's the questions, six of them. Number one, when you get ready to make a choice, a decision in your life, ask yourself this question: am I in a hurry? Am I in a hurry? We all know the adage, haste makes waste. But the problem is, while we know the little precept, we know how to say that, it's a principle that we so often violate in our lives. Many of the worst decisions that we make, we do it because we're ignorant, we're impatient, we don't take time to get the facts, we don't want to be bothered with the details, we just make the decision. And when we do that, when we're in a hurry and we make choices, those choices can have huge impact on our lives. Let me read to you a few of these proverbs that are listed there for you to take and for you to review. Proverbs 18 and verse 13 says this: if one man gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and his shame. If a man gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and his shame. Verse 17 of that same 18th chapter of Proverbs says, the one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. Just be sure that you get all the facts. Be sure that you take time to listen. Proverbs 19:2, desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. Be careful again how quickly you respond. And then Proverbs 21 in verse 15. These are just all so good, I need to get them in front of you. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. How many of you have ever made a quick financial decision without checking the facts and lived to pay for it? Yeah. Plenty of us have done that. This one's a big one financially for us. Sometimes we get into something without really realizing what it's going to cost us and what the consequence is going to be. And so many times, because we're in a hurry, we end up getting in trouble. Impulse leads to injury, and quick time is often a terrible way to make a decision. And so it's very important in the process of choosing in life that we are careful to be sure that we make good choices and taking time to discern the difference between bad, good, better, and best is very important when you're making a decision. So don't let the urgent crowd out the important in your life. Second question that we need to ask ourselves, not only am I in a hurry, but the second question is this: am I trying to make someone else happy? Am I trying to make someone else happy? I want to just say to you that something I have had to learn and prove over and over again in my life is that appeasement is never a good reason to agree with others. Appeasement of others is never a good reason to just agree and go along with others. Now, I'm not saying that you need to be harsh, hard, difficult, stubborn, mulish in your life. You want to make people happy. I want to make people happy. And let me just say that I would say that if you're a married man, you especially want to make your wife happy. So please don't hear me saying today you don't need to try to make every effort to do that in your closest life relationships. But you know how many times you, as I have said yes to something because you want to tell people what they want to hear, but you know in your mind, you know in your heart that you either don't have time or you don't have energy or you don't have money or there's going to be some cost that is ultimately going to be greater than you're really able to pay. But in order to make somebody happy, you just say yes. Be very careful about that kind of decision making in life. It's something that really can bring tremendous obligation. How many of you are aware of the television show This Is Us? Okay, do we have any watchers? A few? Most of us would deny that as men. It's kind of one of those dramas. Well, I've watched a few in order to make my wife happy. It's a little too much like my everyday life. My life is pretty well dealing with people and conflicts, dysfunction, and problems, and I don't need to watch it for entertainment. But the key figure on the show is a man, a husband, a father by the name of Jack. And Jack is just a guy who's come from a really tough background and all kinds of issues, but he really has determined that he's going to be a better dad than his dad, and he's going to build a marriage and a family that's going to work. But in an episode not so long ago, there was a night where Jack was being considered. He never had the privilege of college and education and all of those things. He just sort of worked his way up in the ranks, but he was a good man, and he was given the opportunity to go out with some executives in the company that he worked for and to have the opportunity to, you know, be considered maybe for a significant promotion. And as they sat there that night, and of course the other guys around the table knew each other and told common stories, and Jack was sort of the awkward odd man out, but he's sitting at the table, and when they came to the end of the evening, they did what they often did, and that was that they played cards. They threw their credit cards on the table, and they would hold them up, four of them, and see which one the waitress would choose. And Jack, sitting at that table, when they did this, very reluctantly decided to throw his card in as well. Now, each of these other guys had corporate accounts. They had expenses. Jack was a family man with four kids, and every dollar that he had, he needed to account for. Well, guess whose card was chosen? And a $250 meal went on Jack's card. And Jack had to spend months paying off that debt. How many times, guys, are we like Jack? How many times are we, for the sake of our pride, for the sake of wanting to please others and appease others, how many times are we throwing in and saying, yeah, I'll go along, only to know that the consequence for us is much greater than it is for anybody else? Many of us make those kinds of decisions in life. And not only can you make some really poor choices when you're in a hurry, but when you make the motive of what you do about just trying to make other people happy. Decisions of convenience can injure your character and bring lasting consequence. It's always convenient to say yes, isn't it? I don't know about you, but in my life, it's very convenient because everybody wants their pastor to say, sure, I can do that. Sure, I can. Yeah, I'll do that. The hardest thing I ever have to do is to tell people that I know, love, and care about, no, I can't do that. Because I know that there are expectations. And I know that there are things that surround my life that would make it easy for me to want to appease others. But remember this, in your life every day, decisions of convenience can injure your character and bring lasting consequence. There's an amazing story in the book of Genesis chapter 12 where Abraham, one of the best known figures in the Bible, after God had called him and told him he was going to use him to make a great nation, and of course he's the father of the Jewish nation, the people of Israel, and he was married to a woman by the name of Sarah, and Sarah apparently was a very beautiful woman. Because of some things that were happening, Abraham and Sarah had to go down to Egypt. And Abraham told his wife Sarah before they got to Egypt. He said, now, if anybody asks, you tell them that you're my sister. He said, you tell them you're my sister because you're such a beautiful woman that if they know you're my wife, they might kill me and take you. Well, as it went, they went to Egypt and the word got out about how beautiful this woman was. And as a result, Pharaoh thought about taking Sarah to be another one of his wives. And of course, the unfolding drama there has to do with how God intervened and what happened. But at the end of the day, Abraham nearly ruined his life, his legacy, his marriage. Because in order to try to protect himself, in order to try to be well received, he made a really bad choice. He wanted to make others happy rather than to make a wise choice for himself. So I encourage you, ask yourself the question, am I doing this just to make other people happy? Number three, ask yourself this question, am I choosing to do something unholy? Am I making choices in my life to do something that is unholy? Something that is clearly prohibited, something that carries consequence, something that is clearly written in the Word of God to be a point of injury in life. We have to get honest with ourselves when we make decisions and choices and simply ask ourselves the question, why am I really doing this? Because self-deceit is the worst deceit. Self-deceit is the worst of all kinds of deceit. And many of us try to deceive ourselves by denying the consequence or the outcome of choices that we make in life. I've always said, and I've always taught, that when it comes to leadership, the hardest person that I have to lead is me. When it comes to leadership, the hardest person I have to lead is me. Because I have to be brutally honest with myself about what my motives are, about what my choices are, about why I do the things I do. Is it pride? Is it insecurity? Is it a lust for power? Is it a desire to have popularity? I mean, there are all kinds of motivational forces that go on inside of us, and ultimately those things can be indulgent. Of course, the greatest motivation of many things that we do as men is driven by lust. Our base desire, the carnal craving of the appeal and the appetite, a fleshly indulgence in our lives. And while we may fool our friends and our mates and may even fool ourselves, let me remind you, you will never fool God. Never fool God. And that at the end of the day, if you choose to do something that you know to be against God's will, God's plan, God's purpose in your life, the injury of that will be born in your life. Proverbs 16 and verse 2. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. All a man's ways are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. God knows what's really going on inside your mind, in your heart, what you really do and what you are like in the dark. And so every choice that you make either builds or erodes your character. Recently, one of the men who's a part of the staff leadership and team here at Warren, someone who was here before I arrived and has had tremendous sense of help and encouragement to me in the years that I've served here, is a man by the name of Brett Legg. Brett, are you in the room this morning? There you are. We're upstairs. There he is, right up there. Thank you. And Brett is in such a gifted teacher and writer and creator, but he's a counselor. And Brett has recently started a website and a podcast. It's just brettlegg.com or .org. Which one is it, Brett? .com. Brett Legg, so I'm not pulling your leg. brettlegg.com, okay? And if you go to brettlegg.com, you will find a new resource that he has created called Quick Counsel. And Brett has been doing these about 10 to 15, 17-minute podcasts on all kinds of topics and issues. But just a few weeks ago, in fact, on March the 1st, Brett, along with Eric Almadover, who is our counselor and is a recovery facilitator in our ministry, one of our pastors on our Grovetown campus, Eric, everybody see you. These guys got together and did an incredible podcast on the subject of the pandemic of porn. And guys, I'm just telling you, every man in this room needs to listen to those 17 or 18 minutes of that podcast, because it is something that is destroying the minds and the hearts of men and young women in our society today. It's eroding intimacy and relationships in our world today. And I'm just telling you, I've never been more proud of these two guys than I was as I listened to that and thought to myself, thank God for their help, their resource, their encouragement. And I just really want to encourage you to go and to listen to that. So just go to brettlegg.com, look up the 3121 Quick Counsel podcast, and I promise you it'll be something that is of value to you. Because too many of us choose to do things in secret that we think are going to be manageable secrets, only to watch them become major scandals in our lives. They become major scandals. Do you think that many of the people that you've watched blow up publicly just got up one day and said, I think I'll blow up my life, my career today? Do you think they did that? People don't make those kind of choices. I've never had a couple come to visit me for premarital counseling and say, Pastor, would you marry us so we can be miserable for the rest of our lives? No, nobody's ever asked me that question. They all sit there and smile and say, we're going to be so happy. We're so in love. And you know, I know that the days are going to come when they are going to absolutely wonder, can they stand even being in the same room together? And so they've got to deal with the reality of things that we allow to erode our character. And so I ask you that question, am I choosing something unholy? Okay, next one, number four. Am I going lone wolf? A big question for men when you're making choices and decisions is to ask yourself the question, am I going lone wolf? I love to play at golf. I wish I could tell you I really play golf. I play at it. I love the game. And one of the ways that I really enjoy being able to sort of equal out when I'm playing with guys, of which sometimes I get around guys that are really, you know, good and they've got low scores and it can really make me feel inadequate. You talk about inferiority. You get with somebody who's got, you know, basically a scratch level golf game and you get out there on the tee with them and, you know, you just kind of feel like you watch them hit the opening drive and you think, well, pfft. I might as well go back to the car. You know, it's done. But there's this little game called Pig and Wolf. Anybody know that? You're aware of Pig and Wolf? So you got a foursome, and you take four players, and basically you establish a rotation. And so each time that you step up to the tee box, somebody else leads off on the opening drive. And the guy that leads off then steps back, and the next three players hit. And each player hits, and when he does, you make the choice to either piggyback, to choose them as a partner and play the hole out with that guy, or you choose to pass. And if you pass on all three and you stand there, then you're the lone wolf. That means you're going to try to beat the composite score of the other three guys. I can tell you, I don't play wolf very often when I play pig and wolf. I'm always looking for somebody to help piggyback with me. And I've watched some guys, and a few times the wolf will win. And of course, if you're the wolf, you get double points. If you're the pig, you get 1 point. But at least you stay in the game and you stay in the play. Now, I understand that some people play golf and they bet on things like this for money. Are y'all aware of that? Do y'all know that people, I don't know anything about that, but I hear that people can lose a lot of money on a golf course. I do because I have to buy a lot of golf balls. But anyway, beyond that, let's go on. So sadly, one of the things that we do that really injures us is that we rely only on our own instincts and our own judgment. Listen to these proverbs, if I can share them with you. Proverbs 11 and verse 14. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Listen to Proverbs 18, verses 1 and 2. And whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinions. I've known a lot of men like that. And then Proverbs 15 and verse 2, verse 22. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Jim Collins is a very well-known author in the world of business, corporate, leadership, management, all those kinds of things. Probably his quintessential book is Good to Great, but they've written many others and co-authored with many. But Jim Collins once said this. He said, if you're a leader, aspire to be the dumbest person in the room. Aspire to be the dumbest person in the room. And why would he say that? Because too many leaders want to see themselves as the smartest person in the room. That no one else can add value because their value is going to trump everything else. But the reality is that when you surround yourself with people who are wise and gifted and capable, you become the beneficiary of the very best of all of their ideas brought together with the best of your energies and leadership. And collectively, there's a great ability to succeed. Too many of us want to be the lone wolf. We don't want to build a team. We don't want to work together. But I'm here to tell you that when it comes to your life and the choices that you make, whether it involves any decision, you need to involve your wife, you need to many times include your children, you need to listen to your friends, you need to seek external counsel, and you need to let all of this be a part of helping you to say, I am better and smarter and wiser because I have not tried to be the lone wolf. Question number 5. Is that where we are? Yeah, number 5. Am I considering the impact of this choice on my life story? Am I considering the impact of the choice I'm making on my life story? Every one of us is writing a biography. It may never be published, but you're writing a biography. Every day, or should I say an autobiography. Every day you are making choices that are going into the storyline of your life. Who you associate with, what you invest your time and money with, how you honor the commitments that you've made, and how you live out the responsibilities of your life. All this is a part of the story of you. And the question is, how do you want that story to be read, and how do you want that story to end? Because every day you're making those choices. And the way that you write that storyline in the processing and decision-making and choices that you make has everything to do with the outcome and the collective impact of your life. Proverbs 10:9, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out. Proverbs 14:15, the simple believes everything, but the prudent man gives thought to his steps. Do you think about your steps? Do you weigh your steps, or do you just tend to just kind of walk and wander through the day? Think about what you're doing. Think about the consequence of your choices that you walk through. Proverbs 16 and verse 25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. One of the most engaging, yet one of the most tragic stories in all of the Bible is about a man whose name was Samson. Samson. How many of you have ever heard that name, Samson? What do you know about Samson? He was a strong man, and what does everybody attribute that to? Okay, obviously I'm not in that camp, right? Okay? And a few of you are not either. So nobody's going to ever attribute any strength or influence in my life to my hair. I can promise you that. But Samson's story is an amazing story of a man who had so much promise, so much opportunity, so much capability. But he was a man who made a series of absolutely disastrous choices in his life. He lived on the edge. He wanted to see how close he could get to the edge without falling over. And yet ultimately allowed himself to be entrapped and ensnared and destroyed his life. And the story of Samson is ultimately a story of tragedy rather than a story of triumph. And I would just say to you today that that's what you've got to ask yourself. What kind of story am I writing with my life? Proverbs 20 and verse 7. The righteous who walks in integrity, blessed are his children after him. I hope that you think about living your life in such a way that your children won't find out something in the latter chapters of your life or after you are gone that becomes something bitter for them to live with for the rest of their lives. We've recently in the evangelical Christian community had a very high-profile fall and scandal involving a brilliant, talented, gifted leader, writer, author, speaker, who suddenly was diagnosed with a fatal condition and died in a matter of months. And within weeks of that, a scandal came out in his life. And frankly, everything that his family ever thought that he was has been completely, completely shamed and scandalized. And it's always tragic to lose someone you love, but to lose someone you love and then have to live with the reality that that person was never who you thought they were, that is a horrific reality. And I just want to encourage you, men, please be careful about the kinds of choices that you are making and the storyline that you are writing, because you are going to live and leave a legacy. And the question is, what are you going to do with that? Proverbs 22:1, I think, is the answer to that. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. So, let's do a quick review. What have we said? When we want to make decisions and choices in life, how do we do it? We ask ourselves before we act, am I in a hurry? Am I trying to make somebody else happy? Am I choosing to do something unholy? Am I going lone wolf? Am I considering the impact of this choice on my life story? And then the last one, here it is. Am I hangry? Am I hangry? You know what hangry is, don't you? It's how mad you are when you're hungry and you need something to eat. Every one of us has those moments in life when we get hungry and when, frankly, if we don't start making our way toward a meal or a snack, we begin to get angry and we get very quick and high-tempered and we get very, we bark and bite people around us. And many times in our lives, we make choices because we are hangry. Frankly, we are angry underneath it all. And we are hungry for something that, frankly, we have not attended to. It may be a hunger for approval. It may be a hunger for affirmation. It may be a hunger. I'm not talking about just your physical appetite. I'm talking about the underlying needs, a need for love. And when you bring together an unmet need, and you bring the resentment and the anger of that together, and you let those two things drive the choices and decisions that you make every day, I can promise you, you are looking for a moment to explode in life or implode in life. Because ultimately, some of the worst decisions you ever make come from an angry impulse and from an empty motivation, and it rarely results in wise choices. Ron Edmondson said this, emotionally based decisions, especially immediate decisions, are often ones I tend to regret later. And many of us are careless about the decisions that we make. So in each of these cases, if you fail to do what we've outlined today, you're going to make a stupid decision. Stupidity is going to be the outcome of your life. You're not going to have your head in the game because you're going to be so busy trying to get yourself out of bounds in life. And so as a result, I just want to encourage you to get your head in the game today, to make some wise choices, and to begin to move through life writing a story that matters. Someone has said this: stupidity is knowing the truth, seeing the truth, but still believing the lies. Stupidity is knowing the truth, seeing the truth, but still believing the lies. Don't believe the lies. Make wise choices. Lord, as we go into this day, I pray for wisdom. Wisdom to live, to lead, to choose. Lord, to follow your word and your truth. Lord, I thank you for each of these men. You know where they are. You know the struggles and difficulties and injuries that they are bearing. And I pray for grace for them. Lord, I too just want to pray for whatever that Amber Alert was earlier. I just realize there's a crisis that's out there this morning, and I pray for that. I pray for our community today and all the concerns about weather and, Lord, the fact that schools have been canceled and so many things are going on. Lord, just protect us, we would ask. And Father, as we continue in the days of walking through this pandemic, I pray that we would just see the time where, Lord, this contagion would subside and where protection would come and, Lord, where life can be restored and renewed to the very best. Thank you for time to open your word together today. And help us not to be fools, but to be wise. In Jesus' name, amen.